Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my gosh! Better Call Saul fans, holy cow, we are still shaking after the most intense, suspenseful ending of an episode of TV I've seen all year. I almost had a heart attack three or four times. Oh my goodness. I'm not alone. We're breaking it down. Season 5, episode 9. Sean McHugh, he's an actor, massive Breaking Bad fan here. How you doing, Sean?
Oh, woo! Well, I was feeling for you, bro. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, all I got to say is there's a reason I'm Team Lalo, and that was it right there.
Lalo might be the most terrifying human being.
The most terrifying.
Lauren.
Ever. Yes.
Are you still with us? Did you have any trouble breathing this episode?
You know what?
It's Kim Wexler. Gabby Castania, she's back. How are you doing? We were all texting.
I'm okay. My stomach still hurts. I'm not going to lie. I was eating dinner while I was watching it. I was like, I'm just going to put my food down at this last scene. It was too intense for me.
Too intense for all of us. And Gabby, also all over the social media for Better Call Saul, the latest trending hashtags. We were sending each other some tweets throughout the episode, our whole group chat. But y'all, this is insane. We are approaching the final episode of season 5 of Better Call Saul. And the last 2 weeks have just been nothing but exceptional. The whole season's been amazing, but these past two have just been phenomenal television. We're going to be covering a lot today. First off, we're going to be breaking down Saul and Mike making it back and dropping two bags of $7 million. Holy cow. Lalo freed. Kim is in the game, and she found that coffee tumbler, as well as Kim quitting Mesa Verde. Mike and Gus's really tense interaction, the nacho situation, and that finale. Also going to be doing Object and Sustain, our special segment, a little later on, as well as some news and gossip. But first, overall thoughts. I'm going right back to Gabby Castania. What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was really good. The whole season's been great. But I think this episode and the next one are going to be phenomenal episodes as far as, like, what's going to happen next. It's not like a typical TV show where you can kind of not predict because, I guess there are TV shows you can kind of predict, okay, I'll see what's coming next. But I feel like this show, you never know what's going to happen. There's so much that's going to happen. I feel like these next two episodes, and I can't wait to see them.
Completely agree. Lauren, overall thoughts, man?
You know what? It was a tough episode to watch. I was going to say a tough show to watch. But it gets increasingly tough because we keep expecting things to happen to wrap nicely around our fingers to tie it in with Breaking Bad. So I think it makes it a little bit harder because we know things are going to happen. We just don't know how. We don't know when. I think particularly with this episode, knowing that Jimmy/Saul survived, but then as soon as Kim saying to her assistant, hey, I'm leaving, and not knowing why, we're now going, wait, is this it? Is this the episode? So now we've got to keep doing this every time. Now that Kim is still with us, we're going to be doing this until the end of the series.
I don't know if I can survive the feelings I felt at the end of this episode. If that's the case for the rest of the series, man, I might need to go to the doctor and get my heart checked out. Sean, overall thoughts.
What's so great about this show is that, like, going off of what Gabby said, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You think you do, then you don't. But in the midst of all that, we're going to take a scene between Mike and Jimmy and just, like, be human for a second, right? And, like, and it's no, there's no action. It's just literally, like, what the F just happened to my life? Where am I right now? Like, what is going on? And then smash cut to Lalo. right? So it's just, it's, that's why this show is so good, because it just, it lets you digest, it lets you go on this journey with these characters, but then slaps you in the face. So
guys,
good.
Guys, I'm not even exaggerating. I had my hands on my head for the last 20 minutes of this episode because I just didn't know what was going to happen. The amount of tension they can create in Better Call Saul is unparamount to other episodes of TV. It puts the rest of television to shame, quite frankly. I was just so gobsmacked by the end of this episode. And there, most of the characters, we already know their fate. We know what happens to them. But there's one player involved that we don't, or two players involved that we don't, and the amount of tension that they can conjure up is absolutely amazing. What a finale of that final scene. I don't know how we don't start this without talking about the ending, but just insane amount of tension. Where we picked up from last week, Mike and Saw make it back, he gets cell phone signal, and they drop the $7 million bag. How funny to start the episode, Sean. Him just, them doing the counting. What did you think when he's picking up Lalo?
The whole counting scene is great. I mean, literally, he even said it took them hours to count these $100 bills. And then, of course, you know, the one lady's like, wait, who are you again? Who does this guy? Like, who does he work for? How do you have $7 million cash in $100 bills right now? So, that is a nice, and I like how he's just like, oh, you know, I don't ask them where they get their money. I just deliver it. So
he just delivers it.
Yeah, that's another thing this show is really good at, is giving us that little bit of comic relief. I love what Lalo says, oh, wow, you really kind of married up. Respect.
Dude,
you know, like,
and saw his eyes just widen. Like, he knows. Lauren, now that, when Saw found out that Kim had visited Lalo, what went through your mind?
Interestingly, not shock, but the opposite, kind of calm.
You're calm.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Like, you know, okay, so what's going to happen now? It wasn't an OMG moment. Like, for example, on Twitter, somebody posted a picture of the bullet riddled coffee mug. That is a crazy OMG out loud moment.
Here it is. I think we got it. I got it right here. Yeah.
Perfect. And I'd love for us to talk about what we thought that meant. But you know what? There's parts of this when I'm just kind of calm. I'm like, okay, see what happens.
That shot of that coffee mug when Kim found out, Gabby, what are your thoughts on just on the, now that Saw finds out that Kim went to Lalo, and then Kim finds out that Saw has lied about what happened at the drop? Thoughts?
First, Lalo's so good. That's why I know you guys love him. He's so good at making you feel like he's your friend. Like, when he's like, oh, you married up, congrats, like, that's awesome, like, respect. I was like, oh, he's such a cool guy. And then I'm like, no, he's not. Okay, remember all the stuff that he does. He's not a cool guy. But then when Kim finds the mug, I was trying to find all, like, the, I was trying to figure out, like, all, like, why is she looking through the hole, like, with her eyes? There's some significant meaning or some hitting, like, meaning behind that? Or I don't know. I was trying to figure out what the meaning behind that was, if that has to do with anything, like, involving her fate. But then I also realized, like, damn, he lied again to her, and she's probably horrified now because, I mean, anyone finding that, you know, of their significant other, what they went through, knowing that they went through that, that's horrible. So I felt bad.
And, you know, we even had that visual symmetry later in the episode, which I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but when Lalo finds Saul's car, there's another hole there. I mean,
yeah, not one, but two bullet hole camera shots.
The shots. This might be the most iconic shot of the season for me, in a show that has the best cinematography on TV. I just think you're right. It says so much. Is it her fate? Is it just Saw's situation? It's through Saw's mug. And is it a bullet through Saw to her, from Saw to her? Who knows? It's just an incredible shot. Speaking of the cinematography, did you notice the beginning of this episode, the whole before the intro, it was the half frame, which we got, I think, last year in an episode called Something Stupid. And the song playing over the opening montage was called Something Stupid. Just really cool stuff that they're throwing in there, Easter eggs on Easter Monday, as Sean was pointing out. But not only did Saul get back, Mike got back, and Mike had a meeting with Gus. Lauren, break down this entire interaction for me. What did you think?
With Mike and Gus, you know, it's those kind of detailed things where I just watch in awe of Gus. He is so calm under every situation. You know, Mike's like, hey, these guys try to take us out. I saw what they look like. I saw a tattoo. Gus is like, would you draw it for me? I don't know why. Like, just even that, like, would you draw it for me? And I started to tense up because I think about, you know, we've been doing a lot of Zoom games with friends. But yeah, having to draw something for friends, I suck. So if I had to draw something in front of Gus Fring, yeah, you, there you go. Yeah. I would freak out. I would draw a stick figure and mess it up, and then I'd get killed by Gus. But, you know, I love how both of those men know what their roles are, and Mike knows what he has to do. Gus knows what he has to do. I still wonder, why can't they just kill Lalo? I know there's rules, but the tension is so difficult to handle.
Well, yeah, I think there's multiple reasons they can't just kill Lalo, because the whole reason the Nacho's involved is so that Gus can create this illusion that they don't know what Lalo's up to, when it's the exact opposite. And they talked about Nacho during their interaction. Sean, thoughts on just Gus's stance on using fear as his tactic against Nacho?
Yeah, well, I like that Mike, you know, he knows how far he can push. Right, like, because he was like, I don't like this. It doesn't sit well with me. You know, let's just get rid of Nacho. He's done what we need. And, of course, Gus is like, why would I do that? Like, I control everything. I control everybody's life. Once you're with me for life. You know, loyalty is very big with him. But also, like he said, if I have a guy on the inside, why would I ever give that up? So I like that Gus is like, he's going to stick to his guns, you know, hats off to Mike for trying, but I think he saw like, this isn't how I'm going to do it. I need to kind of think of another way. So it'll be interesting to see if Mike tries to figure out another way to get Nacho out. We'll see.
And the Twitter expert, always tracking everything trending. Did you happen to see, Gabby, what people were tweeting about that?
No, I didn't see a lot of it. I was honestly not on my phone as much. Just checking everything because I was trying to take notes, and because it's so second to the last episode of this season, and I didn't want to miss anything.
Totally.
And you did such a good job last week. Like Sean pointed out, like he had all the meetings behind so many things, and I was like, okay, I wanted to pay attention.
For sure. Yeah.
But no, I'll go back for sure, and I'll go look through, and next week we could bring it up. I know we have important stuff coming up next week, but
I think so what people were saying about that, oh my gosh, the Los Pollos Hermanos has gotten here. I ordered some Los Pollos.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, and it took longer than 30 it took longer than 30 minutes.
Oh. Unfortunately, you should have told us, we could have all done it.
We should have all done it. Yeah, it's in Studio City. So what people were saying was, there's an episode in Breaking Bad where Gus actually says the opposite, and he goes, I don't want to, fear is not the best motivator. And it's ironic because I guess whatever Mike has said to him there, somewhere down the line, it changes Gus's mind on maybe using fear as a motivator.
It is amazing how people on Twitter and fans of the show are so keen in, like, they remember that. Oh, I remember Gus said that, and that totally contradicts what he said. That was, like, how do you remember that stuff? It's amazing. Like, yeah, because when you guys texted about that, didn't you?
Yeah, we were texting about it. But I wanted to get your opinion, Gabby. So after that, Mike and Gus kind of leave on that little bit of an awkward note. And for the most part, it's the Jimmy Kim show and the Lalo and Nacho show from there. Lalo is a freed man, and he's getting Nacho to drive out. This is like Nacho's last thing. Drop Lalo off. Drive back, and they go to that same well, and he turns around. Did you know, Gabby, what he was going to go around going back for?
No, I had no idea. I thought that was going to be Nacho's last thing, was just to take him, and it'd be done, and then that would be the scene because I thought they were going to take place of wherever Nacho or Lalo was going. So no, I did not think that at all.
Yo, he made a leap onto that car, by the way. Did you guys see
that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an epic, like a superhero.
Yeah, that was like some parkour right there.
Yeah.
So smart of him. And I think that's the thing that Sean has been really pointing out. Like Lalo, he's this nice, friendly guy, but he is really smart. And going back that those 5-6 miles to find that scene of the crime, he knows something was up. And Saw never told him he pushed the car into a ditch. Did you fear the worst like I feared when he told Nacho we're going back to Albuquerque, Lauren?
Yeah, of course I did. You know, anytime that Lalo opens his mouth, I fear for what's going to happen next. So, you know, the fact that Nacho just can't seem to get out of this, he's trying to get out of this. He's trying to get his father out of this. But there's somebody or something always pulling him back. And to me, it feels like you're in a pool and your older brother's trying to pull you down into the deep end. And you're like trying to swim back into the shallow area and your mom's not paying attention and your brother's being a dick. That's what it feels like. I'm sorry. What were you talking about again?
just how terrifying Lalo was driving back. But
yes. So that was a good analogy. My brother and me in a pool, and Lalo and Nacho.
Oh my gosh. And speaking of pools, they had to put Saw's feet in some water after that. Guys, his recovery from that walk. Oh my gosh! And like missing a toenail, and still lying to Kim. I think this for me, I know it's been worse in other episodes. This was the turning point for me where I was like, she's just got to leave this guy. She's got to get out. Like, wow. I am such a bigger fan of Kim than I am of Saul. I just want her to be all right. Sean, are you with me, man, on this? Or are you still digging? Are you still following a loyal follower of Saul Goodman?
I'm with you in spirit in that, like, you're right. Like, there's no way she should still be with him, except she does what she does at the end. And you're like, well, I guess she's in, because she literally just like gangstered on Lalo. Like, I mean, like, how can you do that and not be willing to stick with this guy? So, I mean, I think you're right, but I don't think she's going to leave. Like, see, she's really in now.
Now, I thought she was going to leave when she goes to Mesa Verde, and you could just tell she wasn't in a regular groove. Like, she didn't really know what she had to do that day. She called sick, ended up going. Did you think she was going to quit, Gabby?
No, I didn't think. Actually, I had a feeling just because of how she was feeling that day with Saul, and they were sitting there, and then she was forced to go back to work because he went to work. I was going to bring up the fact that we see so many sides of Kim in this episode. Were you guys shocked at all to see her crying as soon as she hears Jimmy's voice? Like, I was kind of shocked how she just broke down right away. I was expecting her to, you know, have some kind of anger or something that we're used to seeing Kim, like how she reacts with him. But she broke down. And then we saw, like Sean brought up, the opposite side where she completely broke out and stepped up for Jimmy. So many sides of her. It was very interesting. She did such a great job this episode.
That's such a good question. I was kind of shocked at how emotional a response we got from her, but you could tell she loves him. I mean, did you guys feel the same?
Yeah, I mean, I it made sense for me because she thought he was dead. So to finally hear his voice, I'll get angry later, but I just need him to be safe, you know? And I think we've all had some version of that in our life where it's like, oh my God, you're okay, fine. Okay, God, thank God. You know, I thought you were, you know, maybe not you were dead, but you know, you thought you were hurt or whatever it is. So for me, it made sense because end of the day, whether she likes it or not, she loves Jimmy, you know, so.
The heart.
I got to jump in and say, I'm loving the chat going on right now. People are bringing up a lot of amazing details, like you said, but what I love is the parallel timeline where perhaps the last season of Saul parallels Breaking Bad. And it's amazing because I think that would help to see what everyone's doing when everything else is going on. kind of like the split screen at the beginning when we see Kim and Saul, and they like using that. This could basically be a way to take the whole series and make it a split screen. I just wanted to give a shout out to everyone on the live chat talking it up.
And you know, it's a great shout out. And yeah, everyone in the live chat, please hit that thumbs up button. If you're on iTunes, leave a 5-star review. And if you type a review out, we will read it on air. Thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV talk. Hit that like, comment down below, and subscribe. One quick thing about that parallel line. Again, there was an episode last season where that happened, directed by Deborah Chow, who now is getting everything. She's doing Star Wars, Mandalorian, huge from after Better Call Saul. I love that thought, Lauren. I love the parallelness. And we got a bit of a time frame this episode. When Lalo meets up with Hector, he says that Tuco gets out of jail in 11 months.
Yeah.
11 months. I think that means we're 11 months away from Breaking Bad, which is, wow, we're getting awfully close now. So that, I love that idea. I do hope it does parallel a little bit. And we'll have to save some of that, those thoughts for predictions, but I love that idea. Getting down to the latter half of this episode. By the way, this was a much longer episode. Sean texted our group chat. It's supposed to end at 7:25. I was like, what? It's 7:25.
Yeah.
It's an hour and a half episode. And I really do think they use that runtime to its full potential with everything involved. I thought Kim was quitting Mesa Verde because I thought after she realized Saw was lying to her, she had had it. I thought that was a tipping point. I hear you, Sean, by saying I'm there for you now and until you get better. But he was walking around that morning. She confronted him. She point blank asked him, is there anything you need to tell me? And he just says, I drank my own pee. But did no one else think she was just going to leave town?
Oh, interesting.
I thought she was leaving town.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, for her to, like, you know, and then just on a quick side note, poor Rich. I feel so bad for Rich. He's gone to bat for Kim like 1,000 times and he gets screwed every time. She just doesn't want to be there. You know, this, I'm just saying, that guy, he deserves a little credit for, you know, putting up with her crap. And then finally she's out. But that was very surprising to me. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, is she going to like just leave the state? Is she going back to Nebraska? Like, what's going on here?
And then she only has her pro bonos. That's all she wants to.
Right. But like Saul said, yeah, but you got to make money, sweetie. So I'm confused on where her head is, although I think Lalo has changed everything. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how this all pans out.
Lalo has changed everything. Gabby, did you, after she quits, did you think this is a really convenient setup for her character where now there's very few people that would notice if she went missing? What were your thoughts after you heard that she quit?
I didn't think about it like that. That's so scary and sad. Oh God. I didn't think that she was running away or anything or going to leave Jimmy. I just thought that she was tired of her lifestyle and tired of this same old stuff that she was doing as far as the job goes. And so she wanted to do what made her happy because he's doing what makes him happy. So why shouldn't she, you know? And maybe she thought after she saw the money that was there, we could afford to, you know, do this for a little bit. I don't know. That's what I was thinking of. Maybe she thought of the money, which she's not like a, you know, impressed with or obsessed with, but I thought that was in the back of her head maybe. And that's what she's always wanted to do. So it was surprising, but at the same time, it's what she's been wanting to do.
Yeah, and she even says that her reasoning behind it was after she thought Jimmy was maybe dead, she realized what was most important to her, and it's it's not Mesa Verde, which I thought was, it's just what makes her such a great character. I mean, she really is looking out for what's best for her and for those around her. The last bit we got with Saw before that crazy ending, he loses that case he goes in for. And that guy gave him so much crap. Was I the only one who thought that was just like a little bit cartoonish? I mean, Lauren, what did you think about that?
That guy's kind of been there in the background as kind of a dick character to Saul. So, no, I wasn't surprised, but it kind of just, you know, Saul's down on his luck this episode. And, So it kind of fit in with the whole thing. I was like, okay, whatever. Leave him alone.
Yeah, he really berated him, though, for, like,
yeah.
an entire hallway. yeah. And then through the window. Like
he was... and then against the glass. Like, hey.
yeah.
But remember, guys, 99% of the time, Saul's giving it to this guy. And he's yeah. always on the That's other true. End of this stick. So I was actually feeling good for the guy. Finally, even for the actor, like, finally get a little, you know, he gets to, like, be the hero today, at least, or, you know, at least the alpha male for, like, 3 seconds. So I was okay with it. I was okay with it.
You probably saw the opportunity and was like, oh, this is great. I could do what he does to me. You're absolutely yeah. right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and I was watching it with Steven, who's an executive producer here at AfterBuzz, also big Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul fan. He was saying, you know, just a week ago, he was berating someone in that same hallway. Just he was saying, I'm going to have lightning shoot out of my hands. And now he's right. getting it the reverse. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
it does fit in. And the only person he can vent to is Mike out of a million people. And, I mean, Jimmy has legit PTSD from that experience.
Oh, yeah.
And he was shooken up the entire episode, even when the oranges were being blended. Oh, my gosh. Just how that was edited. Terrifying. What did you think about Jimmy and Mike's conversation, Sean?
Well, first I thought it was hilarious when he tried to recreate it with Kim. That was hilarious because he was, you know, he's like, what are you talking about? It's like, you know what he's talking about. But this is what I love about Mike. I mean, you know, he's like, you're the only one I could have this conversation with. I'm like, this is the only person you should be having this conversation with. Everybody else would be freaking out. This guy is so cool, calm, collected. He's very articulate. He's giving you good advice. Like, don't bite the hand that feeds you, Jimmy. Like, Mike's the man. So, I mean, like, he literally saved your life. Like, now what? Is it 4 times now he's done it?
Yeah.
Almost a fifth on this episode.
It's a lot.
He was ready. He was ready. So, yeah. It was a good – I like that scene a lot, though.
And we got such a good line, too, from him right before Saul insults him. Where he goes, like, you're just going to wake up one morning and realize you're not thinking about it. And time's going to pass. It was them or us. And he goes, can't believe you're the person I need to talk to about all this.
yeah.
God.
You know what? Real quick, it reminded me of that line in Die Hard. 10 million terrorists, and I got to kill one with feet smaller than my sister.
yeah, they have a great back and forth. I love their banter so much. And yeah, you're right. When he repeats his advice later, you're going, oh gosh, he's just not. Yeah. It's not sticking the right way.
Yeah, because Kim's like, what are you talking about?
Oh my gosh! But we finally. This all culminates to this just insane finale. We know that Lalo and Nacho are going back to Albuquerque for some reason, and we know Kim just quit her job for some reason, and we get this exchange, which is just some of the best writing we've seen from this show. Let's just break down this entire final scene. I want to start with Lauren. Lauren, were you as tense as I was watching this final scene?
Yes, I was. I was partly tense on behalf of you because I care about you, and you are 200% of the 25% of the screen I'm looking at right now.
Oh,
I kind of feel tongue-tied. What else can be said about these scenes setting us up to have heart attacks at the same time, palpitations.
Because it could have gone multiple ways. And that's what was really terrifying about it. In other episodes where we feared for Kim's life, back in my mind, I'm like, you know, there's 6 episodes left of the season. Like, nothing's going to happen to Kim. This is the second to last episode of the season. And we don't know what happens with her character. Also, she just quit her job. Like, all bets were off. Like, anything could have happened. And that, I think, is just such a bravo to the writers establishing all that. And just how they rack up that tension. You get the phone buzzing, the arguments, like their volume starting to raise incrementally. And then there's a knock on the door. Gabby, when you heard the knock.
I knew right away.
Yeah.
Right away. But I was nervous that she answered it. I was like, oh God, she's standing right there and it doesn't show what he's doing. I don't know if he has like a gun or anything. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then when Mike calls and says, leave the phone on, I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. It's not going to be a good scene. And I was proud of her, but I was so like, shut up, Kim. Like, you don't know. I mean, because it worked out for her in the end so far, but I mean, if it was how I thought Lala was going to act, he was just going to shoot one of them or cause a giant scene, because why would he take that, especially from a woman? Not to say, but it's true. A woman that has nothing to do or, you know, do with him or know about his life, and she's telling him off, and his patience, I can tell, were just running thin. They had that smile, but just was running thin.
And Saw's forced to, just the way Lalo asked, tell me the story, with this grin on his face. Oh yeah. My gosh, I have chills, just how horrifying that is. And just the added pressure of, not only does he need to lie to Lalo's face, he needs to lie to Kim's face. And Lalo asked him not twice, not three times, four times to repeat that story. And he did. With the scope through the window. Like, guys, I'm just madness. But where, obviously, the resolution ends with Kim having the most badass Kim Lexler moment, sticking up to this drug lord, almost making him feel small in that moment. And he doesn't blink, but he also doesn't do anything. Sean, what does that mean for Lalo and Kim?
Wow. I just, to go back a little, when the shot of her standing in front of the doorway, I was fully expecting her to be blown away. Like, I was like, that's it. That's how we're going to do it. That's how they're going to kill her. And thank God they did do it. Once we got Mike in the mix with the scope, I was like, okay, I think we're going to get out of this unscathed, at least for tonight.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, Mike's ready. If Lalo does anything, he's done. Because Mike's not even going to let him do anything. So that was a little bit of relief from the pressure. But it's funny because Gabby had said, you know, when Gabby was talking about Kim, shut up, I had the same thought. And then it kind of cycled back to, no, keep going. That's good. Oh, no, you're killing it now. Okay, good.
It's working.
Yeah,
like,
it's working.
Everything she's saying is right. Like, she's absolutely correct. But not only does she put him in his place, she also has probably painted an even bigger target on her back.
100%.
And at this point, I was just sitting and then just laid back in relief. And now just terrified for what we get next week. Are you seeing the comments in the chat, Lauren?
I'm seeing these things in the chat. I don't know if you saw that AMC just posted a bunch of ethics training videos with Kim Wexler. And there's a guy that looks just like Walter. His name is Mr. Mayhew.
No way.
And so, yeah, I'm watching you guys, and slowly one of my eyes is looking towards the video going, what the F is going on here?
So this might be some early news and gossip we're getting right now, but apparently AMC has just put up some ethics training videos with Kim Wexler. While we're on the topic of news and gossip, guys, I don't know if we have much else, but I did see, I was sending you guys texts. The director of tonight's episode was asked by a fan, any little tidbits you can tease tonight's episode with? And he just said two words, Kim Wexler, in which case I've been just kind of antsy all day because I didn't know what he meant by that. As well as Peter Gold saying, when we read this, when the cast did the read-through of this, everyone was super tense in the room. And that even stressed me out more. And I don't think that they disappointed. I totally took everything they said to heart, and they delivered on that promise. Any more news and gossip, you guys, that we have from this episode? I think that's about it.
I have something to share for next week, so you just let me know when.
You know what, Lauren? Let's tease that now. This is Lauren Kling teasing next week. We have a really special guest. Lauren, what do you got to tell the fans out there?
All right. Next week, we have, I'm calling him the best dressed smile in Albuquerque, we've got Howard Hamlin himself, Patrick Fabian, coming on to the show next week. That's why when I saw him real quick in one of the scenes from next week, I'm like, oh, good. All right, he'll have something to talk about.
We're getting Howard next week. That's so exciting. Oh, my gosh. Guys, Patrick Fabian on the show next week. Cannot wait to have him.
Woo!
Fan of the network, fan of Popcorn Talk as well. We are so excited. And Lauren, thank you so much for getting him.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome, brother. Awesome.
Going to our special segment, Sean McHugh, Object Sustain Us.
All right, so Object and Sustain. We have these are the points of the episode in which we either object or sustain that it's a good thing or a bad thing. So mine's actually kind of an interesting because I object to Lalo taking Jimmy's story as good. I was like, there's no way he doesn't believe this. And then of course, so then I sustain my own objection in that he didn't believe him. He went and found out himself. And of course we get that final scene because of it. So that's for me. Lauren, what about you? What's yours?
Well, I'm definitely going to sustain Kim's speech at the end in front of Lalo.
Amen.
I'm going to object to the smoothie that Kim was making earlier. mainly because just that scene was really cringy in a bad way. Like I really felt bad for both of them, and that scene was cringeworthy. So that's my I object to cringeworthy scenes.
Yeah. Gabby?
I am objecting Gus not letting Nacho leave the game. I want him to survive and get out of there with his family so bad. I'm rooting for him. And I'm sustaining Mike's speech. That's what I was gonna say. Mike's speech to Jimmy. We've all been through something in our lives that's super hard, and we wonder, when is this horrible feeling going to go away? When is this, when are we going to be able to live our normal lives or go back to normal? And that line, like you said, where he said, one day you'll wake up, you're going to be brushing your teeth and realize, you're not even thinking about it, or you didn't think about it today. And I think that was super important for a lot of people to hear, It was a little hidden gem in the episode, so.
I'm going to sustain Hector Salamanca wanting to be present for birthday parties. I think that no, I am sustaining everything Kim Wexler. If you guys, I know I say it every week, I'm going on my soapbox once again. The best character on TV, my favorite actress working, Ray Seahorn. Oh my gosh, Kim Wexler. I just feel like I know her personally, and if any hair on her head is harmed, I will be personally moved and offended by it. So I am just sustaining everything Kim. I know that's not a good person to pick in this series, and
I feel like we need an after show just for Ryan's emotional state.
Kim Wexler.
I think so.
And I'm gonna need to watch all those videos, but I'm going to object. I know that guy Saul has given him crap before, the other lawyer. I just thought he was a little over the top for me. Like, it was just a tiny bit too cartoonish. And then the only other thing I'd say about this episode that I'm just objecting a little bit to is I just don't know if I buy... I don't know if I buy Saul... I can see Saul lying to Kim and then lying the first few times. I just think he is in such a shaky emotional spot where I don't know how he held it together with Lalo at the end there. And I know Kim stepped in and saved his ass, but like four times, I really thought he was going to break. And I really do think if he's put in this situation again, I would have a hard time believing him holding it together. Just with the state he was in. I mean, he's cringing and throwing bowls over just when he's hearing blending sounds. Now he's got Lalo there with a gun in his pocket right next to Kim. I was shocked he didn't say anything. But I guess if he did say something, the worst would have happened. Getting into predictions.
Well, I'll just to go counterpoint you on that. I think if he had to do it one more time, he wouldn't have made it. And I think Kim jumping in. But also, I think because Kim is there, he can't break. Ooh. Like Kim. Yeah. Kim is what got him through the desert, and I know it was Mike, but I think it was Kim too. And I think it was Kim that kept him from breaking. Because I think if Kim's not there, he confesses and he just goes, mea culpa, mea culpa.
Yeah.
But because Kim's there, yeah, he has to protect Kim. And if he does that, if he confesses, I think they're both dead. So this is a counterpoint to you.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're right.
And also, like, he looked broken when Kim was saying her whole speech, you know, to Lalo. He looked broken. If you know, when the camera panned to him, he just was like, just like no emotion, just because I don't know if he was shocked at Kim or just scared, everything. I think it was all of his emotions. He's just exhausted and done. But then it's crazy to know that there's a whole nother world that he gets back involved in this. How? I don't know, but it's insane to know.
It's that money bag he pointed to. He said that's what it was for. Yeah. And I mean, when you look at how much he made just from that and then Breaking Bad, it is an increase. But guys, just wrapping this out, predictions for the season 5 finale next week. I'm going to throw it to Lauren first. Lauren, what do we got?
I think the hard part for me is trying to figure out where Lalo is going to end up. I'm trying not to assume what a cliffhanger might be. But I feel like Kim, I totally think Kim is going to go on board with Saul. And part of me was like, will she be joining forces with him to work with him? I don't know why I have that strange kind of feeling that she wants to be with him. She wants to work with him. She wants to give him her all.
Right.
I think she's gonna hook up with him professionally.
You think so?
Again. Yeah.
Do you think that's a long-term thing or a short-term thing?
A long-term thing. She really loves him.
Wow, do you think that could bleed into... I'm sorry, I'm just going to keep asking. Do you think that could bleed into Breaking Bad? Like, she'd be with him during Breaking Bad?
You know what? I'm not thinking that far ahead.
Okay.
I'm thinking of, at least for the next season, that she's committing 100% to Jimmy.
Yeah.
And like she did tonight, this was a preview of her and he teaming up with Lalo. And look at how well they did.
Sean, what we got?
Remind me, we have not seen Lalo in Breaking Bad, right?
We've not seen him. I believe they referred to him in Breaking Bad.
They referred to him. Okay.
In the first season, yeah.
Okay.
Is that what happened?
I had a thought about Lalo, but if we referred to him in Breaking Bad, then it would not make any sense. So I'm just going to say that Mike is going to do some gangster stuff. He's going to save the day yet again. I'm not sure how that's going to pan out, but he's definitely going to be involved in some gangster stuff because he's the OG OG.
Nice. And Gabby, predictions, final episode. What do you think is going to happen?
I think we're going to see the deciding factor for Nacho, whether or not. I mean, we know Gus's decision, but I think we're going to see a big decision as far as, you know, if he stays or not, because the only other option is, like he said, like Gus said, to put him down. You got to put a dog down. I don't know.
God. Dude, that would be killer. That would be killer.
If that means family or if that means, I don't know. I think we're just going to see a decision with Nacho, and I'm looking forward to that decision. I hope it's good.
I am totally going to take Lauren's mindset from earlier in the show for my predictions. The paralleling of season 5 Breaking Bad. Now, season 5 Breaking Bad was split up a year apart. It was two sets of 8 episodes for a 16 episode total season 5. It was really like it was the 6th season. They did a lot of flash forwards in Breaking Bad, and Better Call Saul has copied that ever since season 1, where we have gotten little snippets of post Breaking Bad in black and white, ironically, of him in Nebraska. I think this is bold, but I do think that this next week episode will be the last episode of Better Call Saul to take place before Breaking Bad. And I think next season is all post-Breaking Bad. And
post-Breaking Bad?
I think all of next season is going to be post-Breaking Bad. I think something's going to happen to Kim next week. Don't want this to happen, but I think she's going to get out. I think they're going to have some evacuation plan where they just get her out. And in season 6 of Better Call Saul will be them maybe trying to reunite after his name, which, by the way, they alluded to it. I think I just put this all together. That lawyer scene where he's like, you should change your name again. You did it. He does that. And okay. He works at a Cinnabon. I think that's what we're setting up.
Are you saying this parallels El Camino?
I guess that would be a parallel to El Camino.
Or I think it's probably after that even, right?
Or after El Camino? Wow.
Again.
Dude, that was just something else.
I just don't know how you could I don't know how you could do a whole like Lion King 1.5 where you're doing the same time as Breaking Bad in season 6. I don't think they're going to try that. I don't think they're going to get, you know, Bryan Cranston back or anything like that. I think next season is going to take place entirely after Breaking Bad, and this next episode is the final one before it. I can't wait. What do you guys think? Comment down below. We're all making some pretty big predictions. Again, the chat is loving us, y'all. So people are asking where they can find all of us. Gabby, where can people find you?
On Instagram at Gabriella Castania. That's Gabriella 2 L's, and then my last name is Castania. And then on Twitter, Gabby Castania.
Lauren.
You can find me at Lauren Kling. That would be, hold on, I'm pointing. There we go. LaurenKling on Instagram.
And Sean McHugh.
At SeanStar75 on the gram. Gorilla Suit Sean on Twitter. The Ozark After Show. The now new show Run on HBO. I will be doing that as well. So catch me there.
And y'all, you can find me at Ryan Nilsen on Twitter, at Ryan Nilsen, NILSEN on Instagram. Guys, we have like 55 people in the chat right now, by the way. So thank you so much for tuning in.
Nice.
Hit that thumbs up button. Give us a review on iTunes. We will shout you out on air next week. And again, we got Patrick Fabian for the finale.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you,
Woo-hoo!
Lauren. Please wash your
You're
hands.
Welcome.
Stay safe out there. Have an amazing rest of your week. This was the Better Call Saul After Show.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.